I used to be that kid in the McDonald's play place who would come up to you and say, "Do you want to be my friend?" And for the next hour or so, you better believe we were the two best friends that anybody could have. And get ready for this, because I'm about to unlock a core memory for you. Then my mom would say, "Okay, Alexandra, it's time to leave." And I'd go pull my shoes out of that little shoe cubby by the slide. And I would say bye to my temporary best friend, never to be seen again. As an adult, it can be super awkward trying to make friends. And if you compact that with also being openly conservative, that can make things even harder. That's why Turning Point USA has spent years building out the most incredible weekend for conservative women, the Young Women's Leadership Summit. It's June 2nd through 4th in Dallas, Texas, where you'll room with other conservatives from around the country in the gorgeous Gaylord Texan Resort. You'll have the opportunity to sit a few feet away from the biggest names in the conservative movement as they talk about the biggest cultural issues impacting America today, especially for women. You will feel inspired, encouraged, and be armed with new friends and resources to go back to your hometowns and save this country. Do not miss out on having a spot. Go to tpusa.com/YWLS right now, then use code POPLITICS to get 25% off your tickets. Whether you're a student or not, all the girls are welcome. Say it with me one more time. tpusa.com/YWLS, and don't forget to include code POPLITICS for 25% off. Love you, mean it. You're welcome. When you're scrolling through TikTok and you see all of these leftists apologizing for their whiteness or giggling in the abortion clinic, it's easy to want to give up trying to reach out to these people and change their mind on conservative ideas. I mean, they hate us. They don't want to even have a civil conversation. They just scream. We've all seen the viral memes. People on the left are convinced that conservatives are not compassionate, that we don't care about other people. We're racist bigots. We want LGBTQ people to die. I mean, we've all heard the same tropes, right? And I think most conservatives feel like in today's political climate, progressive leftists are pretty much a lost cause, that the people we need to be focusing on are the soft liberals or the moderates. Those are the people that could be more easily convinced that conservatism isn't that bad. Well, today's guest has proved me wrong. I've got to admit it. She's in her early 20s, like many of you are, and not so long ago, she was the epitome of a leftist. And I mean, not long ago, like 2 years ago, a year ago, okay? She was angry. She was hateful, even. She was unaware that some of the values that she held actually were conservative. And she's here to chat all about why she was on the left, what made her leave the left, how motherhood helped make her conservative, and what conservatives are getting wrong when it comes to changing someone's mind about conservative beliefs. Maybe you've seen her handle on your For You page because her videos go viral on TikTok constantly. Her story is invaluable information for conservatives to understand not only why leftists think the way they do, but also what we're doing and not doing that's making our efforts to change their mind harder. Please welcome Evelyn, aka the leftist dropout, to the spillover. Did leftist Evelyn ever think that she would be at Turning Point USA doing an interview?
No, I would be crying, honestly. Like 2 years ago, I would be like, what are you doing?
Did you know what Turning Point was?
I did. I knew a little bit of it. Like, I was raised by conservatives, so my brother knew about you guys and like all these other people, but I didn't really like you, to be honest.
Did you know who I was?
Not you specifically. Okay. I made fun of Charlie a lot, though.
I bet. I'm sure. Yeah, he's got one of those faces that just ends up getting made fun of a lot on
Very
Twitter
small
TikTok.
Face.
We love him, though.
Yes.
And I think it's important that people kind of understand your background and how you became a leftist in the first place. You just mentioned that you were actually raised in a conservative house. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, explain that. Do you just feel like that pushed you away more? Is that it was a natural rebellion thing? Like, I just want to be different than my family, or what?
Yeah, I feel like it was a lot of that. It was the friends that I was hanging around too. So, like, I lived in like a nowhere town, but I had friends in a big blue city. So I was always seeing these friends, and they all had very liberal and leftist views. And because of, you know, peer pressure and everything, I was like, well, I want to be like them, and I don't want to be like my family, because family is bad, you know? And I was like, I just kind of went with the herd. And then I kind of in 2020, I went way off the deep end, and the George Floyd stuff just set me off, and I became an insane leftist. It was really bad.
Yeah, I want to get into that. What state were you living in?
Michigan.
Okay, so you're like a Midwest girl.
Yes.
Not like you're crazy, like you're not in LA, you're not in New York. I mean, you're really middle America, Midwest kind of upbringing, because I'm from Indiana. So,
Yeah,
I get, where are you on the mitten?
oh my God. So I'm like here.
Okay.
About? Yeah.
Okay. All right. See, anyone that knows anything about Michigan, you got to ask someone, where do you live on the mitten?
Yes, you do.
That's what they do. Okay, so, and now, how old are you now?
I'm 21 now.
And how old were you when you first just became interested in politics in general?
I would probably say 15 or 16. My dad was super interested in politics and would talk to me all the time about them. And so I had a lot of his conservative influence. And then I kind of just wanted to like spread out and look at other things. And that's kind of another reason that I became a leftist too, because I was like, my dad says this. I don't like that.
What were the different avenues that you were going down to find other views?
Really just social media. It was a lot of, it was TikTok in the later stages. It kind of started with a lot of Instagram, Twitter, and some YouTube as well. I just found some people that had good leftist views that I thought that I could, you know, listen to. And I don't know, I just started to agree with them a little too much, I think, without really researching anything that they were saying.
You said briefly that you were a liberal and then you became a hardcore leftist. So could you explain in your own words just what is the difference for people that don't understand between a liberal and a leftist?
Yeah. So I would say a liberal is, first of all, I feel like they're more laid back. But leftists tend to dislike liberals because a lot of times they say that liberals are kind of performative and everything that liberals do, they try to appease too many people. Like think of like the hippies in the 70s and stuff where, I mean, I feel like the hippies in the 70s would be conservative today, but...
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a statement.
I know. Yeah. But then leftism is this extreme view where you're normally a communist. I was a communist or a democratic socialist or something like that. And you are pushing for, free healthcare and all these kinds of things. And then sometimes you go even farther and they want like violent revolution with it as well. So
you classify that the ones that are wanting violent revolution, like the Antifa types?
Yeah. But even farther than that, there are people who think that Antifa is too right.
I'm sorry. What? Mm-hmm. I've never heard that before.
Yeah. They don't think Antifa is doing enough.
Explain that for a minute. Let's go down this rabbit hole.
I mean, well, they also would call Antifa kind of performative. So they would say that Antifa really isn't doing much, which I think they are now, but they would say that they're not doing enough, right? They're not getting enough policies in place. They're not actually changing anything. They're just making noise.
I thought the whole point with Antifa is that they're just kind of... they just don't care about anything. Like, they just want the world to burn. So they don't really care about policy.
Right.
They don't like the left or the right, I thought.
Yeah, they don't really like any... Antifa is like a whole separate thing, right?
Yeah.
So the people on the extreme left, at least the ones that I met, they didn't really like how Antifa was doing it because they truly want to move towards like a communist regime. Like, they want to move towards that. And they feel like Antifa is just making everyone more angry and not actually doing anything. So the leftists that you should be afraid of are the ones that don't talk. They're not very loud. And I met a couple of them and it was scary. I mean, at the time I agreed with them, but it was pretty scary.
What was something that they had said to you that scared you the most that you're like, okay, that's shocking even for me?
I mean, I basically just that they didn't want America. They didn't want an America. They didn't want borders, right? They wanted everything to be overthrown and to be different and to be run by like communities kind of. And yeah, they would do anything, violence or anything to get there. Yeah.
Before becoming a conservative, your family was conservative, like you said, but was there anyone in your life that you knew that was your own age that identified as conservative or no?
Yeah, my best friend, Kenna, actually, she's one of my, she's still my best friend. I love her so much. She stuck with me through all of it.
Really?
And yep, she would always, I mean, she prayed for me a lot and she, you know, she said that she felt in her heart that God was going to bring me back to the conservative side or even if I wasn't a conservative, just bring me back to God in general. So yeah, shout out Kenna. She's like my favorite person.
We love Kenna.
Yes, we
do. A true conservative that stuck it out. That's awesome.
Yes.
What happened culturally or politically that really drove you from liberalism to leftism?
Yeah, I would say it was George Floyd for sure. I was very liberal and I disliked Trump and everything before that. And I would post about it and voice my opinion. When George Floyd happened, if I could pull up my Facebook posts, I was insane. I don't know what happened. It was that mixed with like COVID. And I felt like no one was taking COVID seriously. I felt like everyone that I knew was downplaying George Floyd's death. And yeah, I mean, I went to my very first Black Lives Matter rally because of George Floyd. Ironically, I didn't think that that would spread COVID, but I thought that everyone protesting at like Lansing would spread COVID. I was one of those people too.
Do you remember rationalizing that to yourself of thinking like, well, I think anyone like getting together in groups is bad, but like this will be okay? Or did you just not even entertain those thoughts?
When I went to the protest, we were all wearing masks, everyone was. So I was like, okay, well, we won't spread it. And then I realized, well, people at the Capitol were also wearing masks, like Lansing. And I was like, but they are spreading it. And I was like, well, how does that work? And so in my head, I just said, well, I'm protesting for the right reasons and they're protesting for the wrong reasons. So therefore, their protest is bad, but I'm protesting to get real change in America, right? Like, that's what I thought. So that's kind of how I justified it.
What were some of the leftist cliches that you would say that you fell into as far as beliefs go?
Definitely, I would scream, my body, my choice. If you don't like abortions, just don't get one. That was one of my biggest things. Also, you know, police brutality. I literally have an ACAB tattoo. Yeah. I was really bad with that.
It's
right here.
Oh, it's my A-C-A-B. Gosh. So do you want to get that removed or are you like, no, actually, I want to keep it because now this shows like where I was and what I've been through, and where I came from?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of subtle because it is just dots. It's 1312, which is, you know, A-C-A-B. So I feel like I don't really notice it too much. So I don't know if I'm going to get it covered up because I'm like, hey, I can prove to people that, yes, this was a part of my life, because so many people don't even believe that I was a leftist because they're in a cult, right? Like that whole mentality is cultish and they don't believe that somebody could leave that. So now they just attack me and say that I was never actually on the left.
they think sometimes in your comments on TikTok that you're like a grifter.
Yes, I've gotten the grifter thing a lot. I didn't even know what that was. I didn't know what it was until they called
me
that.
It's just basically a grifter in the conservative movement is like, okay, I'm riding this train. I'm gonna declare publicly that I'm conservative so that I can get either social media famous, rich and famous, you know, make a bunch of money, become super popular, even though I don't actually hold these beliefs, which pisses me off because if I wanted to, I had the number one rated morning show in pop radio where I was. I was making great money for like being 23 years old, like insane money. If I would have rode that wave, I would have made more and more and more. You know, I had no idea if politics was going to work. You know, doing these conservative pop culture shows and what I've done, like I had no guarantee that was going to happen for me. I took a huge risk. I left all my friends, all my family. And so, you know, I did that though because I felt like, especially that it was 2019 when I decided to leave radio where I was, mm-hmm. and then kind of start being a conservative commentator and doing a show in the conservative movement. And I did all of that because I thought we have an election coming up very soon. And I felt so passionately about if I could just play even the smallest part in the trajectory of where America is going and have some sort of influence on young women and introducing them to conservative ideas, I will feel like I'm doing something, you know, important. I love talking about Selena Gomez and all that stuff, and that's what I was doing on the air. But like, I wanted to talk about Selena Gomez and politics. Right. I wanted there to be more substance to what I was doing. And so when people say things like, oh, you're a grifter, you don't actually care, you know, about this, I'm just like, dude, you have no idea. Like, it's very uncomfortable and scary coming out and being publicly, I'm conservative.
It is.
And I'm sure you can relate to that.
Oh my gosh. I lost probably 75% of my friends. I've received death threats. I've had people tell me that my baby should die, mm-hmm. that I should have aborted my baby. People have told me that I should have been aborted. I mean, I've gotten so many horrible comments. People have told, literally one guy on TikTok said, all you deserve is insults in your life. And like, they just come after me. And so I see these comments saying that I'm a grifter, and I'm like, okay, first of all, I'm not making any money off of this, and second of all, why would I go to the side where everybody hates me except for people on the side? You know, yeah. I've been treated very, very nicely by you guys, but everyone else, most of my friends, disowned me in a very public way. I've had rumors spread about me, and it's been pretty rough. Like, why would I do that when I'm also not even making money?
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
just publicly saying this and sharing my journey, and a lot of people kind of resonate with it, and they agree with it. I've met so many people like me.
Did you openly hate America?
Yes. Oh, I did. I did. And when people would tell me, like, oh, we'll just go live somewhere else, I'd be like, but that's capitalism and you can't just go and this, and just like trigger words was all I would say. And I would never actually think about, okay, do I actually hate America? And yeah, I don't think that I actually did. I just feel like I was going along with the trend because why would you hate America?
Did you recognize the irony in that it's because of America and the principles that we were founding on that you could have those extreme radical ideas?
I know. When people would tell me that kind of thing, I would just say that they were bootlickers. I use the word bootlicker a lot.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, I was crazy. I would throw insults. I used all caps whenever I typed to conservatives and stuff. And I was so mean to people. I had to go and apologize to so many people afterwards because
really?
I was terrible.
So were you one of those people on here's one thing I don't understand about the left. I mean, are you guys, I'm saying you guys, but when you were a
yeah.
leftist, are you actively looking through like conservative hashtags and things like that just to find like posts to just crap on and just and talk crap? Because that's what
that.
I don't understand. I'm like, how do these people find me and like say this stuff?
It wasn't always that, but there, because I did have some more conservative friends, so I would see their posts, and then from their posts it would just have more posts and more posts. So yeah, and then I also made a lot of Instagram like videos and lives and stuff where I was just really, really mad at everything, and it was not a fun way to live. And I don't, you know, I never saw a conservative acting that way, but for some reason I thought that I was justified in acting the way that I did because I was saving the world.
Yeah, so explain this. So let's backtrack a little bit in talking about, okay, so George Floyd really, you feel like, radicalized you.
Yes.
And immediately you went from 0 to 60. And what was it about, I mean, I can guess, but with the George Floyd situation, I mean, did you just really think that, explain your thought process, did you really think that police were hunting black men?
I did. I truly thought that, I forgot the cop's name, Derek Chauvin or whatever, I truly thought that he was like a member of the KKK, that he wanted to go out and kill a black man that day. And then, you know, because before that I was still liberal, so I thought that there was a big police brutality problem anyways. I watched the video and I was sobbing at that video for so long.
Yeah.
And this was all when I was in quarantine as well. So like,
I mean,
it is
disturbing.
It is, yeah. And I mean, I still hold, like, you know, okay, that was a very weird situation, right? Like, I don't think any part of it was like super great
no.
or like super horrible.
For the record, I don't think I don't know a conservative who holds the view like, no one is like, yay, George Floyd died.
I know, exactly. I just think that now I can see how, number one, the media pushed it really weirdly. And number two, I do think that he could have acted in a better way, but I don't think that he deserved what he got in prison time and everything, like, because he got a lot.
How in the world does somebody who goes from, I'm going to get ACAB tattooed on my hand
yeah.
to, I actually think Derek Chauvin got too much or too severe of a prison sentence?
Yeah. I mean, it started with my son. I always say this. When I got pregnant with him, I love him. He's so great. But that kind of started making me think that, you know, okay, I'm going to bring this new life into the world. I have to figure out how I'm going to raise him and what I want him to believe and how, you know, what kind of parent I want to be.
And were you thinking maybe I need to tell my kid, hey, hate yourself because you're white?
Yeah. Oh, I went as far as I was going to raise him as a they-be.
Really, Evelyn?
I went that far. I never told my husband about that, but I was looking into that.
He's hearing this for the first time.
Yeah. No, I seriously, I called it I wanted to call it like a sex reveal party, not a gender reveal party. I wanted everyone to, I even told one of my best leftist friends, like, okay, if you want to get him something, get him some books about race and some books about gender and some books about, you know, whatever else leftist thing that I thought. And I don't know, because I was pregnant, I kind of had to be around my family more because my mom was helping me with a lot. Mm. And just being there, and I kind of stopped screaming at her because I screamed at my mom so much. And I just stopped screaming at her. And because I had to spend so much time with her, I would actually listen to what she was saying.
And what was she saying?
Well, she was very, very kind to me. She was always kind to me. And she would just kind of put little things in my head. And so would my dad. So like my dad one day just mentioned, you know, like Trump gave all of his salary to charities. And I was like, no, he didn't. And then my dad pulled up like proof of that. And he's like, yes, he did. And so that, you know, a little seed there. And then my mom would say something like, because, you know, she's pro-life. And so she would be like, how does it feel carrying something inside of you? Like, are you still like okay with abortion? Like, how do you feel about this? And that was planting another seed. And it just kept going like that until, I don't know, I just realized, like, why am I trying so hard to believe things that I know in my heart to be false?
But how did you know in your heart that they were false?
I think I knew the whole time that I was a liberal. I think that there was something eating at me that was super small that I would always push back down because, oh, that's just my internalized racism, or that's just my internalized misogyny, or whatever they would say. Like, that's just how I was raised, trying to pop back up. And I don't know. I just kind of realized that everything that I was bringing up to not only my parents, but my husband has a friend too, who I would talk to, and he's a big conservative. And he would just send me all these links, basically just proving me wrong on everything that I believed. And I wondered how long I was going to keep up the facade of seeing this proof and just saying, no, that's wrong, even though it was right in front of my face. And I just one day, I think it was in the summer of 2021, maybe, I was like, you know what? I'm done with it. I don't care what people think about me. I know now that all of this stuff that I believed before was wrong. And I don't know, it wasn't that hard once I kind of told my parents that I wanted to switch over and I wanted to, I'm like, okay, you guys were right. I'm sorry. After
what
that,
what was their reaction?
They were in,
I mean, did they hug you? Were they crying?
Yeah, well, I think it was one day I was at their house and we were talking a lot about Trump. We were talking about some like conspiracy stuff. And I don't know, they kind of saw me like get really silent. I remember being really silent and they're just like, okay, just think about it. Like, just think about it. And then I was like, okay, I will, you know, I'll think about this. And I drove home and I called my husband and I just told him everything that I had learned, all of the proof that they gave me about Trump and about all this other stuff. And he was like, wait, are we Trump supporters now? And I was like, what would be so bad about that? Like, why do I hate that so much? Because truly, once I looked into everything I thought about him and other, you know, Republicans, conservatives, none of it was actually true. And I was like, I've been lied to. And then I got mad because I was lied to by my friends, by the media. I was basically brainwashed and peer pressured into thinking a certain way. And it all kind of just came melting down. And I remember calling my husband's parents and just saying, hey, we're sorry. We were horrible. And they, I mean, I don't know if his dad cried or whatever, but I mean, there was like a lot of laughter. And it was a great phone call to tell them too.
Something that's shocking to me is that even as a leftist, you chose as a very young person, you're only 21 now, you chose to get married and then have a baby. I thought leftists hated the idea of family and especially traditional family.
Yeah, it was pretty insane. We were not expecting it. My son was a surprise, and we weren't married when he was conceived.
Okay.
And then throughout, you know, being pregnant, I was transitioning to being a conservative, and I don't know. It was a month. I think we got married about a month before my son was born because we really realized that, you know, kids need two parents in the home. They need to have that stability. And we really wanted to give our son like something that was going to make him be a good person and just give him the best life that he could. So we decided to get married right before he was born. And then I literally became like a trad wife. And, you know, I stay at home with my son and I do all the cooking and cleaning and everything. Very traditional. My husband works. And I don't know. It felt like it was so right, like it was something in my life that I had been pushing away. And then when I had my son, I was like, this is what I want to do. This is what I was made to do. I may not look traditional, but
I love that about you. So talk about that a little bit, because you said something to me before we started recording about your hair color and all your tattoos.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've always been super artistic and I've always been super kind of out there. I'm a middle child, so I, you know, I always wanted to stand out and everything. So I started dyeing my hair at 14. I got my first tattoo at 15, and that was just the style I always gravitated towards. I don't really know why, but once I became a conservative, I was like, oh no, do I have to stop doing all of this stuff? And I was like, no, this is still me. I have pink hair. I love it. You know, I have, I've had red hair, green hair, blue hair, and I have probably 60 plus tattoos.
Wow.
Just because I like the style, and it's okay to like that style and still hold different ideals.
Why do you think so many young people seem to lean left by default?
I'm gonna get a little spicy here.
Go for it.
I think it's because of the schools. I really do. I was homeschooled, and it even got to me.
Really? You were homeschooled?
I was homeschooled.
And it was all through social media, then the indoctrination.
It was. And it was through my peers that I also like saw on a regular basis, my friends. And I still have some of those same friends. Not all of them left me. But they, you know, and they're still very liberal and stuff. And we just kind of agree to not talk about it. But yeah, I got like indoctrinated through them because they all went to public school, and then through social media as well. So, I mean, it can even get up or get to your homeschooled kids, too.
That's really scary. Yeah. A lot of parents, conservative parents, are going to hear that and have a lump in their throat hearing that.
I know. It's crazy. I mean, it's kind of, I feel like I was a lesson because I'm the second oldest of 10 children. So I know a lot.
But and your mom was homeschooling all of you guys?
Yes. That's she was incredible. Homeschooling all of us. I know. She's a super mom. I love her. But I feel like I'm kind of a lesson to them to be like, okay, we're going to monitor a little bit more what's going on with especially our daughters. So yeah, I don't know how it was social media mostly, I would say.
If you feel like the schools are responsible for so much of this indoctrination that's happening with younger people and leaning left, what is your plan with your own son?
Oh, I'm homeschooling him for sure. I mean, I've said that from day one, pretty much, just because I was homeschooled and I really liked it. I loved it. I was able to work at my own pace. I was able to kind of control what I learned when I learned it. And just, you know, I was able to work at my own pace. Like I said, it was really good. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to homeschool him. I'm going to keep him around me as much as possible.
And what about social media? When's he going to be allowed to have that?
I don't know. I haven't thought that far. But yeah, I think I'm going to heavily restrict it, if anything. But
what was your stereotype of conservatives when you were leftist? And then what did you realize once you started to become friends with and talk to more conservatives and become one yourself?
I seriously thought that all of you guys were, again, like members of the KKK. I actually thought that most conservatives were like secret KKK members.
Crazy to
me. And I couldn't, like, I don't know. I just thought, because, okay, so I have 5 adopted siblings, and so 5 of them are Black, mm-hmm. and my parents are conservative. And I was like, how can you guys have Black children and you act this way and you guys are racist and you're doing, and then I don't know. I just had to realize once I started talking to more conservatives, no, like you, it's just that we're all given this narrative by social media, by mainstream media, that everyone who thinks a certain way and thinks that people should be held responsible for their own actions and held responsible for where their life goes. Like, you know, to an extent, I understand some things happen that people might not be able to control. But for the most part, I realized that I was the racist, that I was the racist one for acting like white people, specifically conservatives, needed to somehow save people of color, and that people of color couldn't do well on their own, that they, you know, they were too dumb or too stupid to do certain things, or that they were raised in a way where they couldn't do things. And that's how the left views them. It really is. Like, they really think that if you are white, you have privilege and you have to use that privilege to help people of color because they can't help themselves. And then, you know, conservatives, I realized conservatives were like, no, like people can help themselves. People can have good lives. And if they work for it, right? And I don't know, that was the biggest thing I realized, that you guys are not all racist.
I know I have the body of a hamster and weigh like 95 pounds soaking wet, but I am and always have been a meat and potatoes type of girl. I'm not ordering a salad on a date. In fact, I've never even had one. I'm ordering a ribeye, baby, or pretty much anything with bacon on it because I'm American. Then I found out that 60% of U.S. pork production comes from one company owned by China. And they give their hogs this nasty sketch chemical called ractopamine or something, which is banned in 160 countries, including China. And yet they're sending it to us to eat. That's when
when I discovered Moink. That's moo plus oink. Isn't that so cute? Moink delivers grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb, pastured pork and chicken, plus sustainable wild-caught Alaskan salmon straight to your door. If Moink sounds familiar to you, it's probably because they are. They were on Shark Tank, and Kevin O'Leary called Moink's bacon the best bacon he's ever tasted. Ever heard of Ring Doorbell? Their founder, Jamie Siminoff, also jumped at the chance to invest in Moink. I love that all my Moink meat comes from small family farms across the country. During the pandemic, when farmers were losing jobs left and right, Moink kept them working because they share our real America First values. By buying your meat and seafood from Moink, you can help save a family farm and get access to the highest quality meat on earth. I love Moink, and you will too. Help them save rural America by signing up at moinkbox.com/spillover right now, and conservatives will get free filet mignon for a year. That's 1 year of the best filet mignon you'll ever taste, but for a limited time. That's moinkbox.com/spillover. That's moinkbox.com/spillover.
What did you think? I mean, how did you explain there being things like, you know, white people in Appalachia, for example, that are like they can't even read, dirt level poverty, horrific life circumstances? How did you reconcile that with the idea of white privilege?
Well, I parroted this very popular leftist thing where we're not saying that because you're white, your life isn't hard, but your race is not something that's making your life harder. Mm. That was the big thing, the slogan I would say, and I would say it about everything else, right? I would say it about women. So like men. I would say it about men and be like, you know, we're not saying that men can't have bad lives, but your sex isn't something that's making it harder. And that's what leftists parrot that a lot. And it doesn't make any sense.
So if a leftist said that to you now as a conservative, how would you respond?
Well, I would just say, you know, I feel like people's race only can affect them in a negative way if they let it. Mm. And I understand that, you know, there is still racism. There are individual racists in the world. But America is not this huge cloud of racism that's always bringing people down. And I don't know. I guess I would just say, you know, is it really true that a white person who's in a really bad town, who maybe doesn't have an education, is super poor, are they really more privileged than, you know, Obama, or, you know, name another black successful person?
Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Right.
Oprah, one of the richest people in the world.
And I mean, they would still say, yeah, because Oprah has experienced racism. And I don't know exactly what I would say besides, you know, okay.
Of course Oprah has experienced. I would say, I'm sure every single person of color has experienced racism at some point in their life, of course, right? But also the idea that there's something systemically holding Oprah back because she's black, I would say, where is the, you know, evidence of that?
Yeah. And they would just, you know, I've had people say, okay, well, the medical system is inherently racist because...
The episode last week with Ali Beth Stuckey, we talk about that, the mortality rates with pregnant black women, and how that is a huge myth. If you look at the data, it is a bombshell on why and how the media is perpetrating that lie, that it's because of racism that pregnant black women are dying. It's not actually, but I don't want to spoil it if you haven't listened to that episode.
No, I haven't. Did you see that Planned Parenthood like posted that thing that said abortion is actually safer for black women because of the mortality rates of black women in pregnancy?
How does that make you feel?
Oh, I was so mad.
It's really gross to me.
It made me just like recoil with disgust. Yeah. It was horrible. And like abortion is kind of my biggest thing that I talk about now. So yeah, that was...
That's your passion point for you, which is so cool to me. Because that's a passion point for me also as a conservative, is being pro-life. And so that's the one thing that I enjoy talking about the most. I would say that's probably my number one voting issue for me, you know? So I love that, that's kind of where you're at.
Yeah, that's my big thing. And I mean, it's all because abortion is a very hot topic right now because Roe v. Wade is being, you know, could be overturned possibly. And funnily enough, pro-choice, pro-life, I was pro-choice even after I switched to being a conservative. Like the abortion topic was the last thing that I switched on. And
I'm actually not surprised.
I know. I just couldn't, because I get it. It's a very emotional topic.
There's a lot of conservatives or people that lean right that are not even pro-life.
I know. Yeah. And I just don't understand it. I feel like pro-life logic is so simple. It's just human equals human rights. That's it.
That's it. That's it. I love that.
Yeah. But I love talking to pro-choice people and, you know, just seeing kind of the cognitive dissonance. You can just see it in their faces when they're talking to you about it, about the like the mental gymnastics they have to do to justify killing another person is pretty insane. So
how did you change your mind on that ultimately? Was it having your own child?
It was. I think it was definitely being pregnant and realizing, you know, at 24 weeks when my doctor was like, you're at viability now. So, you know, if anything were to happen now, we could keep your son alive. And I remember realizing, you know, people have abortions at this stage.
Yeah.
And at 11 weeks, I had my first ultrasound. And my baby was literally like flipping away from the ultrasound thing. And he was just flipping, literally doing flips in my uterus. And I was like, how can somebody kill that? And then I kind of did, you know, a little more research onto or into science about it and, you know, human life beginning at conception. And I really had to ask myself, if I was so pro-human rights and like, you know, with LGBTQ stuff and POC stuff, and then like, how could I justify killing the unborn? And then seeing how it affected minority communities even more too, I was like, this is not, you know, this is not what I was fighting for.
Yeah, it kind of contradicts itself.
It does. It's really crazy.
Who were some of the first conservatives when you switched over that you really started listening to and enjoying?
Definitely Candace Owens, for sure. Steven Crowder. I am a big Steven Crowder fan. I listen to his show he does like every morning.
Yeah.
I listen to that with my son. We
his
like
wife
make dinner.
Loves the show.
Yeah.
His wife loves the spillover.
Oh my God. Yeah. Steven Crowder's wife. Hi.
She's gonna love gosh. That.
Yes, no, but he influenced a lot. His pro-life changed my mind videos actually helped me change my mind as well. Definitely Charlie and Ben. I like all of them too. I don't know who else. I mean, basically Turning Point USA just in general. And then PragerU was a big one as well.
Yeah, they're great. We love PragerU.
Yeah.
How did the left ultimately then, once you became a conservative, start turning on you?
Well, I have a stalker, kind of, who stalks me on social media, at least.
A guy or a girl?
It's a guy. His name is Max. Sorry, it's a guy slash they. I don't know.
It's one of those they.
Yes. But no.
A Demi Lovato.
Oh, God, that's funny. No, he literally will block me and then unblock me and block me and unblock me just to leave nasty comments on my stuff. He was kind of a part of. I used to be in the music scene, like the punk underground music scene in my city. And he was part of that. And I swear that he was the catalyst of them all unfollowing me one day.
Probably was.
I think he was, because he kind of is like a big, you know, he's a hot shot in that kind of area. So I think that he was. But yeah, he will still, like everyone else just blocked me one day. Some of them sent like death threats and then blocked me. But he just keeps coming back to me. And I mean, I've made a joke out of it now. And I'm like, hi, best friend. Like, I know you have a crush on me, but I'm married. I'm sorry. Yeah, like, I just keep making fun of it. But yeah, he will literally just insult me and just leave horrible comments. He DMs me horrible things and then just blocks me again. So yeah, they've mostly
Why
had that kind
him?
Of reaction. I kind of like the drama.
This is the reaction when people ask me like, well, Alex, how should I deal with haters and all these mean comments? They bother me so much. That's the response they should have. Like, I love the drama. You know that?
Honestly.
The TikTok sound, it's like, is it me? Am I the drama?
I seriously, like, I'm not even ashamed to admit it. Like, I love that. Like, I think it's so funny that I live in his head rent free. Like, he does not go, there's not a day that goes by that he does not think about me. And then, you know, he's like, oh, should I unblock her today and just see what's going on? So yeah, I just like to count. I think it's been 4 times I've been blocked and unblocked now. So.
Well,
yeah.
You know, since he keeps looking at your stuff to stalk you, he could also maybe come around and one day you post something that changes his mind.
I know. That is another thing, too, is on the conservative side, I've only blocked like one person. I don't really like to block people just because I do feel like maybe I'm planting a seed, like maybe something will happen, because that's how it happened with me. It happened very slowly. Mm-hmm. My parents, a couple friends that I had, just putting little things in my head that kind of made me think. So, you know, even when I do my abortion debates on TikTok, TikTok. I kind of just like to be like, okay, even if they're really, really mean to me, maybe I said something that they'll think about.
Would you say that you are pro-life, no exceptions, or do you have exceptions?
I only make an exception for maternal death. And even then, I still feel like it's still a little, you know, because there are so many things that you can do in those situations and it's so rare, but I haven't looked and done enough research into it. So I'm just, yeah, I'm pro-choice, I guess you could say, if the mother is in direct imminent danger of dying, fatal danger.
Would you consider yourself classically liberal or true conservative?
I don't know. I really don't know where I stand. I've been told that I'm a classic liberal. I've been told
Why?
That I'm a conservative.
Because of what that you believe?
Because I feel like the way that people want to live their lives, trans people, LGBTQ people, whatever, that it shouldn't be as big of a deal on the conservative side. And while I understand why it is, I don't know. In my opinion, I feel like people focus too much on that when there are other things, you know, that we could be focusing on. But yeah, then everyone on the left who actually is a liberal thinks that I'm like alt-right. So right. I don't know. I've been told I'm a constitutionalist. I've been told I'm a libertarian. I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you this. You will always be that way. To the left, we're always super radical. And then to the right, it's... there's always going to be people on the right that really agree with you. They're like, yes, a hardcore conservative, whatever. You totally perfectly align with me. And then there are people that are like, you're too left or you're not right enough or whatever. There's always infighting and drama in that regard.
Yeah, I definitely. And I mean, I don't know, because I have people. The reason that people on the left still hate me is because of, you know, even though I say, OK, we shouldn't be like harming LGBTQ people, which I think everyone agrees with. But I do say I'm very like socially conservative, and I don't think that children should be able to, you know, or should be taught about this in school. I don't think that children should be able to transition. So that's then why I get the transphobe label, is because people, you know, say that I'm a transphobe for that.
That you should just let any age, no matter what, transition. No. Don't ask any questions, which is insane to me. And even sadder when you go on Reddit threads and stuff of detransitioners.
Oh, yeah. I've done on TikTok. I forget what her name is. But she went a few years, probably like a decade, thinking that she was a man. And it's like destroyed her life.
Yep.
And I mean, she still gets hate on TikTok of all these leftists saying that she was never trans.
So sad.
And I just don't understand that whenever you change your ideals, they say, oh, you were never this. You were never this. Like, how does that make sense?
What do you wish that leftists would understand about abortion that they don't understand?
That's a good one. I feel like if you guys are going to continue to fight for human rights, kind of like what I was saying and doing, and you think that everyone should be equal, you need to extend that to the person in the womb. Because you can have all of these philosophical debates about whether or not we can grant it personhood, but just step out of your extremism for just a second and just think, this is a human. It has complete human DNA. Why are we accepting the killing of these humans simply because of their location? And in like 50 years, will we look back on this and think that it may be the same as other points in history where we haven't granted people human rights? And the things that people talk about all the time, I mean, slavery, the Holocaust, all of those things, those were times where people's human rights were not being granted. And we made excuses. Oh, they're not really people. They're only 3/5 of a person. Mm-hmm. Like, just think about that and think about really if you can make exceptions for killing human persons. But you're gonna have to step out of your extremism for that. So it might be too hard for them to do that.
That's actually very smart, you saying that. So one thing I think that's important for pro-life people to understand when you're debating, and there's research that backs this up, and the Equal Rights Institute has really looked into this, is the number one thing, and you can tell me if this is true or not, that the number one thing that a leftist or a pro-choice person or anyone on that side that they don't want to be labeled as is an extremist.
Mm-hmm.
That is really icky to them.
Yeah.
And so pointing out that your views could be extremist or radical, they're like, wait, this is just normal or whatever, that sometimes that can bother them.
Yeah, I would say that that's more of a liberal thing. They don't want to be extremist. But when you actually get to leftism, they don't care.
Yeah.
They say, yes, we are extreme. Yes, we want America to fall, and we're like, we want it to. So we are extreme. Yes.
And we're proud of it.
Yeah. They take that label.
One thing that's interesting about you, I think, is that you're openly bisexual.
Yeah.
And also conservative now. So kind of talk about how your sexuality fits into, you know, also your now more right-leaning views.
Yeah, actually, that's very interesting. I don't want to disappoint you. But I have actually, through my walk with God and everything, started to realize that a lot of that was due to some trauma that I've had.
Really?
And I'm trying to, and I've been talking to actually a lot of people on TikTok who are, you know, they just say that they are Christian and they have same-sex attraction issues.
Yeah. Yep.
And so they're working through it as well. And, you know, because I am a Christian now, I believe that having that attraction towards women is a sin. And so while I do still have that attraction, I'm working on, you know, like trying to avoid it, trying to do whatever I can to avoid it. And it's working, you know?
I'm like starting to get emotional because it's so incredible listening to you. It is incredible. Like, I'm so proud of you and I don't even know you. And just, it is very hard for people to say that. It is even hard for people on the right to admit that.
Yeah. You know? I don't know. I just couldn't. I feel like God, like my son's middle name is Emmanuel because he seriously brought me back to God. Like, I love that little nugget so much. And I just could, I don't know. I just started really walking with God as much as I could. And I did realize, you know, there are so many things that I follow with the Bible. Why am I not following this? Mm-hmm. And I used to make so many excuses for it. And then I kind of started to, you know, try and work through my trauma. And I was like, hey, I think this is a reason that you started having this same-sex attraction. And I don't think, before people hate me, I don't think it's like a worse sin than any other sin or whatever.
Yep.
But it's still, it's still a sin. It is. And I, you know, I would just like, if I were an adulterer, that would also be a sin. That would also be bad. So yeah, I don't think that people who are LGBTQ are horrible.
Nope.
But yeah, I've talked about it a lot on my TikTok too. All I'm doing is every time I have that attraction, I'm praying. I'm just trying to, you know, avert my eyes or just get my mind off of it. Because I realize that that's not godly. So trying to do my best.
you're such an inspirational young woman. I'm so excited because I know that conservatives are just going to adore you. They're also going to feel so empowered on how to talk to their friends that are on the left. And I want to talk about some other things first about motherhood with you in particular real quick. And then I want to get into that of just tips on what we're doing wrong as conservatives when talking to the left. So look forward to that in just a few minutes. So one thing, I recently sat down with Ali Stuckey, like I said, last episode. And then I've talked about how Mother's Day is going to be an episode that if you like the Ali Beth Stuckey episode of The Spillover, you're really going to like the episode that comes out for Mother's Day week. But I talked to them recently about hospital versus home births and motherhood and all that. And, you know, I wanted to ask you just why you chose a home birth over hospital.
Number one, I am terrified of doctors. I have white coat syndrome so bad. I also, my sister had home births for all three of her children, so I was familiar with it. And then I just really thought, you know, after I give birth, do I want to be in a hospital room where there's nurses coming in every 3 seconds? I knew that if I was in a hospital, I would cave and get drugs, which I really did not want to get drugs. So yeah, I chose a home birth. I had a midwife. Her name was Yolanda. She'd been doing it for like 40 or 50 years.
That's so cool.
I know. And I gave birth to my baby in a tub in my living room.
Was your husband in the tub with you or out?
He was out for the actual birth, but while I was laboring, he was in the tub with me for a lot of it. Yeah.
Would you do it again, home birth?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to do it for sure. It was the most pain I've ever felt in my life, but I would not change it for the world. I got to crawl in my own bed with my newborn baby.
Yes. Oh, that's such a good point.
Yes.
Oh, that's such a good point. What do you think the left gets wrong about motherhood?
I don't know. I feel like they don't even know that, like, their whole thing is, right, like, kind of dismantling the nuclear family. And I think what they're told, the reason that they should be against the nuclear family is because it's exclusive of, like, LGBTQ people, and we should be empowering single mothers and everything. And I think that they just don't understand, and maybe they haven't seen the statistics and everything, but a strong family unit, being a mother, and especially, like, a stay-at-home mother, and providing that experience to your children is statistically better. It is shown to create better children. And so if we really want to talk about privilege, two-parent privilege.
Yeah, it's a big one. Do you feel like when you share these views on TikTok that you're getting shadow banned or censored at all, or you haven't experienced that?
Oh, yeah. I have two videos up right now, I think, where I try to break my shadow ban. So I just
What do you do? Just say, I love Dr. Fauci. Praise Dr. Fauci.
I open it and I'm like, okay, guys, I'm shadow banned again. Just like and comment and just pretend that you agree. And so my latest one was like, I love Biden. China is so cool. Black Lives Matter. You know, get vaccinated. Like all of this stuff that I just spill out. And then it's my followers. I love them. They're just in the comments like, oh God, this was so hard, but okay, I agree. Yeah. I just like try to. And it's so funny because it works. Those videos that I post get so many more likes and comments than any of my other ones. And I have a few different accounts so I can kind of monitor my like main account. And I'm not even seeing myself anymore from my main account.
That scares me.
Bad. My account might be taken down, guys. My main account.
Okay, so we need to follow Leftist Dropout on TikTok.
Yes, it's Leftist _ Dropout. And then my backup is Leftist _ Dropout.
All these conservatives now have to have backups. Isn't that sick?
Yes,
in America, a free country. We have to like jump through all these hoops to just make sure we can have some semblance of free speech online.
Oh, yeah.
So annoying. Okay, so what are conservatives doing wrong when debating with a leftist? What would be beneficial for us to know when it comes to helping change someone's mind with polar opposite views from us?
I think it all has to do with the fact that, like, I think you guys know that leftists are very emotional, but I think it would benefit us if we kind of tuned into that more.
I have been saying this, Evelyn. Yeah. We are on the same page.
Honestly, you cannot come at them just like, okay, I love Ben Shapiro, but you can't come at them like Ben Shapiro.
I have literally verbatim said this so many times, like in interviews or whatever. I say the same thing. Yes,
it's true. Because it only just works. Cause them to shut down.
Facts don't care about your feelings. Only works once you've become a conservative. And it's like a hee-haw thing between conservatives. Yes. That is the number one way to lose a debate, I think, with a leftist.
It is. And like, I don't know, because I do get it that like facts don't care about your feelings is true, but definitely saying that to a leftist, they're just going to think that you're some conservative stereotype.
They just think you're an a-hole.
They do. They don't like it at all. I would say definitely realize, number one, that these are not bad people. Okay, most of them, the majority of them. I've met a couple of bad people, but these are not bad people. And when I was on the left, I felt so strongly that the world was actually hurting people. Like, think about, just put in your head, what if it was true that cops were actually hunting Black people?
It's horrifying.
It is terrible. And that is what they actually believe.
Yeah.
So I feel like people have to meet them where they are on an emotional level. Make sure that you kind of let them know that you are also compassionate, that you also care about these topics. You just see the solution in a different way, if that makes sense. But try not to invalidate their emotions and the things that they're saying, because it truly does, like bleeding heart liberals, that statement is so true, because they are good people who I think the media preys upon and, you know, preys upon their emotions and everything and gets them super fired up. So it's definitely be in tune with their emotions and really try to push away your facts don't care about your feelings thing, because we do have all the facts and I know that, but try to push that away for a minute. And just come at them and be like, you know what? I understand that you are so concerned about this.
Showing empathy. Like, right. I care about women in crisis pregnancies.
Yes,
care about those women that have been raped. I care about, you know, the fear that Black people have, like all of that.
Yes, definitely. And don't try not to invalidate, like, how they've experienced things as well. It's I don't know, because it sounds so stupid, but seriously, they aren't bad people. And they are really just trying to do their best with what information that they have.
Do you think that it's a good debate technique or strategy to, instead of just coming at them with like, well, this, and this, and instead kind of approach like asking you questions? Like, well, can you explain why you feel this way?
Yes.
Or why do you think that Black people are being targeted by the police?
Right.
Like, things like that. Is it better to do a question format and have you explain your beliefs?
Yeah, I would say, especially how I approach abortion debates, depending on who I'm talking to. But most of the time, it's very beneficial to ask them questions, because then they have to work through through it in their head, and you can literally see them or hear them, depending on what platform you're using, but you can see them just fall apart. Like, they don't have anything else when they're required to answer questions, because on the left, a lot of times you're just given these like talking points, and you're given like a very brief overview of what they mean, and like maybe one statistic to back it up that's even like, you know, a skewed statistic or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you just run with that. And if somebody actually sits you down and asks you about it and asks you more questions, they will fall apart because they have nothing left. And then I think it's, again, depending on how your opponent is talking to you, because if they're being nasty to you, I've been known to get snippy as well. But I would say that just try to, you know, when you see that they're defeated or when they don't have anything else, just try to be like, hey, if you don't know an answer to that right now, that is okay. And just give them, be like, hey, you can go think about that. Just, you don't have to have an answer right now. And just try and leave it off on a good note, because then if you like sandwich it with good things, like start out good and end good with them, they're more likely to remember that. And they're more likely to look on that conversation fondly as well.
That's really very important advice and very helpful advice. What topics do you think we should be pulling out of our pocket first when it comes to trying to change the mind of someone that's on the far left? I mean, for example, like you said, it took you a long time to come around on abortion. Mm-hmm. So maybe is abortion, you know, we shouldn't come out right out the gate trying to change their mind on abortion. Like, what topic should we start, you think, is the easiest for them to kind of be receptive to when it comes to explaining conservative ideas?
I feel like, honestly, you could get them pretty easily with Trump, because there's a lot of proof out there, because the man was filmed doing everything.
Yeah.
So I think just getting their, you know, the never Trumpers, and just getting their hate for someone like that to come down to a minimum by just showing them full clips and not edited clips, because that was one of the biggest things, is my dad.
Like the Charlottesville riot.
Yes, exactly. Or the, you know, all Mexicans are rapists or whatever. Like, try and actually show them the real proof about that. I think that's where I would start. And I think that's where I have started a lot, is just, okay, let's just talk about Trump. Let's just talk about this one thing. And then after you move on from that, you can say, okay, now we see how the media has been lying to us, right? So this is not conservatives' fault. This is not like leftists' fault. This is the media. And then if you get them mad at the media, then you can go down that rabbit hole with them, and you can start saying, okay, what else has the media lied about? And you can find stories that CNN has just fabricated out of thin air. And it's so, like, their source will literally be like, CNN is the source for the
always.
CNN article.
Yeah, every single time. I want you to, oh my gosh, Evelyn, I want you to go on like a campus tour so bad. And
oh my God, I would love it.
Oh, you would be so good with just, you know, with our Turning Point chapters or whatever, just going and then speaking and doing Q&A and answering questions from leftists on campus.
Yes.
I think I would seriously pay to see it. Like, I would love
to do that. I love talking to people so much.
I think you'd be great. So anyway, just throwing that out there for all of our chapter leaders that are listening.
Charlie.
And they're like, we should have Evelyn come out, because you would do that, right?
Would you come speak? I would love to.
I think you should have Evelyn. I think she'd be perfect. Anyway, okay. In your opinion, do you think that conservatives actually have a chance at winning the culture war, or does the left have too big of a stronghold at this point?
Oh, no, I think we're winning. I think we are winning at this point, honestly. And I hate to do like the whole like winning team, losing team, but I actually believe the silent majority, because there are people in my life that like used to be kind of apolitical, or I thought they were apolitical, that I now know are very conservative. And a lot of people, the quiet people, are conservative. I think the only reason that we think that the left is like quote unquote winning is because they're loud. And all we have to do is be louder. And then also try and, because I feel like with conservatives, a lot of time they see the left being so loud and abrasive. And so they assume, oh, we're losing anyways. I'm not going to do anything, right? I'm not going to bother. I'm going to have my views. I'm not going to try and change other people's minds. But I think we have to, especially with young children, which is why I love Turning Point, because you do it a lot with like, you know, college age kids and high school and stuff. So I think that that's something where they're smart enough to have like good critical thinking skills. And so if you can catch them there and be like, hey, like, don't listen to the indoctrination of your school, just like have a conversation with me, I think that that would be like a great place to start. I think conservatives need to like step their game up a little bit.
Absolutely. And if you're, you know, listening to Evelyn, you're like, oh my gosh, like I feel the same way she does. Like I am in college right now, or I'm in high school, and I just wish that I could kind of help change other young people's minds. Go to tpusa.com/get involved and figure out how you can start a chapter, a Turning Point chapter on your campus, or just get involved with one if there already is one on your campus. Odds are there probably is. So, okay. I really think, hearing your story, Evelyn, that you are primed to like write a book or something. I mean, what are your plans? What would you like to do with your platform as you grow?
I would honestly love to kind of do what you were talking about. I would love to talk to people. I kind of, you know, Caitlin Bennett, I kind of want to do that thing where you just go on the street and talk to people. I really would love to try to change more young people's minds because I think I have an interesting angle because I was on the left.
Me too. I think it's disarming for them.
It is because I'm like, hey, yeah, I understand how you feel and you're wrong. But yeah, I would love to do that. I've been thinking about writing a book, but I have really bad ADHD and I cannot just like sit down and do something. So I would have to like just talk and have someone like transcribe what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I would do too.
Yeah.
Okay, remind everyone what your TikTok handle is again.
It's leftist_dropout. And then my backup is leftist_dropout. That's on Instagram and on TikTok. Actually, and on Twitter. I'm on Twitter now as well.
Oh, good. You should be on Twitter. You need to be on Twitter. That's great. Evelyn, thank you so much for coming on this Spillover.
Thank you for having me. It was awesome.
I am feeling so inspired and hopeful after talking to Evelyn. The fact that someone can get an ACAB tattoo and then become a full-blown pro-life conservative is pretty freaking incredible. And I love that she said conservatives are winning the culture war. If you also left the left or became a conservative fairly recently, I would love to read your individual stories in your 5-star reviews. And make sure you leave those and leave a word of encouragement for Evelyn, as she is, you know, not only a brand new conservative, but also a baby Christian, and she is killing it right now, and I just want her to feel tons of love and support. So if you can share and post this episode of The Spillover everywhere, please do. Evelyn could change some minds, or at least plant some seeds for minds to be changed, and we would love to see it, wouldn't we? If this is your first time listening to The Spillover and you're like, okay, whoa, like I'm very interested in hearing incredible personal stories and interviews with people that I'm not expecting, then you need to make sure you are subscribed to The Spillover. This community has grown so quickly, and it is truly becoming just, I mean, one of the most incredible things that I look forward to every week. We're back next Thursday at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And you have the option to watch the episode live on the Poplitics YouTube channel. I'm Alex Clark, and this is The Spillover. Love you, mean it. Bye.